Okay, good evening, everyone. We're going to begin. Can I have the roll call, please?
Hart, Kapler.
Here.
Ormsby, Peters, Rafferty.
Here.
Stoltenberg.
Here.
Wendland.
Here. Okay, we had minutes from the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the minutes of the meeting of September 20th as submitted.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from the last meeting, September 20th, 2017. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. So again, everyone, good evening and welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission for October the 18th. We are a recommending body appointed by the City Council to review matters of zoning and site plans and such. So we value your input. I see there's a number of folks in the audience tonight. It's kind of like church. Nobody's in the front row, but that's okay. At the appropriate time, I'll ask you to step back to the podium to my right and to your left and provide your input to the case because we would like to hear that. So with that, Craig, we will begin.
Mr. Chairman, first case here, it deals with the rezoning, and what you're looking at is going from certain zoning classes that are A2 and R1, and you're changing the majority of this parcel from R1 to R3. There is A2 to R3 pretty much in this area, and then going from R1 to A2 in this area down here of what is already lot one of Lewis First Edition, and then lot two is the remaining area that's being rezoned tonight, or being requested for rezoning. This is the actual legal rezoning plat showing the areas again that were outlined on the aerial, and essentially you have two different rezonings, three different areas that are overlapping. Staff in reviewing this proposal recommends approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission? No questions from the commission. Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Well, this is easy. Okay, we'll come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case 17084, 3013 Fieldside Drive, rezoning from R1 to A2 as submitted.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17084, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 17084 is approved.
Mr. Chairman, I'll similarly move that we approve case 17085, 3013 Fieldside Drive, R1 to R3, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that also.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve case 17085, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 17085 is approved. Okay, Greg?
Mr. Chairman, this project here is the Spartan Square project, and it's looking at the area right above Colo Hub, which is right here. You got the veterinary clinic, Whitey's, and Arby's in these areas, and this is the lot of record as separated with the orange line. This lot right here is the one that we're looking at replatting and a site development plan. This is the area again shown in aqua, approximately showing the boundary that is outlined for the parcel where the combination retail and restaurant building would be potentially located. This is the original plat. Essentially, you're looking at this portion here for the site plan. This is Thunberg's second edition. This is the new plat, Thunberg's third. This lot here essentially being the lot with the site plan. This is the demolition attachment showing what area would be removed, and essentially what you're looking at are light posts, paving, and two drainage intakes in that area. This is the proposal as it now is. There was an addition of separation where entry is here. The drive-up has been moved further away from the adjoining property here. We also have parking right here being shielded so that there wouldn't be anybody coming in and then immediately running into someone who may be backing out. We also have the water quality area being moved from this locale so that the building might be moved over, and actually the building was moved further east as well as somewhat south. And those were the modifications that were made compared to what you saw last time, where the building was closer to the adjoining property, the veterinary clinic. We had the water quality feature here. We had the parking in this area. And essentially, this is the same landscape plan that you'd seen before, the elevations. But to give people a better perspective, the engineer drew out these maneuvering areas, as it were, turn radii that indicate the maneuverability around the structure. And then the stacking feature is shown here on this aerial where the proposed building would go, and the way in which the traffic would go in that general direction for the drive-through, and then the means of entry right here, creating an even larger barrier between this parcel and that one. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, feels that several upgrades have been made, and within the confines of the parcel, that the petitioner has tried to ameliorate as many of the issues that were concerned by this commission. And in that regard, staff would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask you, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission?
Go ahead. I just have one quick question. Greg, did I also see that there's been a fence added to separate the vet's office?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. So the span of land between those two concretes is not any larger, but there is a fence there to provide privacy and separation.
This separation is greater, and the drive-through has been moved
right
into that area. Yeah,
but the grassy area,
no, this, yeah,
the
there's
same.
No, there's nothing different there.
Okay, other than the fence.
Mm.
All right. And then in this stacking where you show cars coming in from Middle Road from the north traveling south and they get to a stop, is there there's a space there between that stop sign and the fence that's very wide open? Is that, was there discussion about trying to control that a little bit more or narrow it down, or is it the intention to leave it open?
You mean this area in here?
From there all the way up to the right there, yes, that area.
I think that would almost be under the control, and I think there are cross easements within the prior additions, that would be under the control maybe of the Thunberg family, and it's their wishes maybe that be kept open for traffic circulation.
Okay, thank you.
Jim?
Yeah, Greg, I have a question. It's more concerns about the, it would be, the, I guess, the southwest entrance. The as you come into from Devil's Glen, they have a security fence around the north side of the Cola Hub. And I've got a couple questions about, first of all, is that fence something that could be seen through? Because it looks to me like traffic essentially runs into that fence. The previous plan that we had, they had a nice little S-curve there that directed traffic around the corner of that fence, but they pulled that fence further to the west, and they don't show anything as far as changes to the curbing to direct traffic. And I'm a little bit concerned about what happens right there.
I would talk to the, Mr. Connors has an answer.
I have the same concern, and I'm wondering if the developer could talk to Mr. Rubens and see if we could maybe clip that corner a little bit, make it not so such a 90-degree corner, clip it a little bit, make it easier to maneuver.
Something.
I agree with that.
There's also, if it's a wooden fence or something, it's going to be, you know, it's going to hinder visibility, so.
It'll be chain link.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Good evening. Mark Snyder, Russell. We're the general contractor and representing the developer on this project. The fence that's shown for the colo hub is a possible location of the maximum footprint of that fence. The colo hub owner, Scott Rubin, wanted to square off his building by putting it in that location. There is more than 24 feet of space for that drive lane for somebody coming in off Devil's Glen. The conversations that we had did indicate that he would look at doing an angle there or something that will more gently curve the traffic that's going into that.
If you could just even have something that would direct traffic around the corner, that would work to my mind.
Yep. That.
Okay.
That's a maximum footprint representation. So.
Okay. Great. Yep.
Thank you.
Anything else?
No. That.
Okay. Great. Hey, one question while we got you there, Mark.
Yes.
For the, and I know that the user's identified for the drive-through, but if it is or conceptually, I see where the queue is, but where would they order? I'm trying to get the feel of the flow. Would they order somewhere at the north end of the building and then pick up at the south end?
Yep. So the line loop that will be installed at the time of the project, which to your question will be the northwest corner of the property. So that menu board will be approximately, it's hard to see without zooming in, but there'll be a menu board where the island is at. So just call it the northwest corner of the building for conversation purposes.
Okay, great, thank you. Anyone else in the commission?
One more question. I asked about this when we talked about it last month, and that's the signage on Devil's Glen and Middle Road. So as it exists right now, it's been there a long time. I think just kind of recreated using the space that was there. We're only looking at signage for one or two businesses, where now you're adding seven more businesses. And is that going to continue to use the existing, well, footprint isn't the right word, because I'm thinking more surface, not vertical.
Mm-hmm. So the intent and the conversations that have happened is the surface area of the sign that's there will continue to be what happens in the future. It's
okay.
The vertical footprint of it is not going to increase. And the conversations that the developer has had is he'll be using an electronic monument sign.
Sure.
So it'll be scrolling, so it's going to change, so that's what the conversations have been to date.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Electronic monument.
Or electronic messaging center, an EMC.
But it is a monument sign. It's a large sign, but it is a monument sign.
Correct. Yeah.
And that'll be subject to the normal review, too, so
sure.
Great. Okay.
Yeah, just for the commission's edification, we do have a provision that shopping center signs, which means three or more businesses located on them, there is an additional square footage over your standard building notification sign that you can put up. So.
Thanks, Bill. Anyone in the audience have input or questions with regard to this matter? Yes, sir.
Scott Sandham, I own the Glen Oaks Veterinary Clinic on the west side. It's hard for me to pick through this when actually none of it makes sense to us. A 14,000 square foot stuck in a parking lot in front of a larger building is a difficult concept for me to wrap my mind around. The whole idea just doesn't seem to fit Bettendorf, and it certainly doesn't fit what you see around there, which are, I believe, well-kept buildings with great setbacks, great parking. Whitey's, myself, we do our best to make our properties attractive. I just can't fathom sticking that building in a parking lot behind me and having the city think that makes sense. It does nothing to alleviate or control any of the parking issues that we talked about the last time. In fact, it probably makes them worse. I have, what is left off of that is the fact that that southwest corner, even in that drawing, are five different directions of cars coming right there. Where is the drive-through coming out Devil's Glen Road? Are they going all the way around the building? But I see three lanes of traffic there, and egress and ingress coming in on Devil's Glen Road. What does that corner create, let alone a fence, which is the first I've heard about a fence? I assume it has to be on my property. I think there's a 10-foot setback on that, but I assume the fence they're talking about that I've never heard about goes on my property. I don't know whether that cuts off my little bit of green space that I have or not. But I think they've cut back on parking. Seven businesses in that area with that type of parking. You put another car in there stacking to the drive-up, it cuts off the driveway to their own parking. I apologize. I just can't look at any part of this and say it makes sense from my standpoint. And believe me, I'm biased. I will say I know Chris Townsend. I respect him. I think somebody's asking him to put lipstick on this pig to try to improve it, but it just doesn't make sense for that particular area. And it's going to create an incredible problem for me as people go across the front of my building. That is the direction they're going to go to get to their parking. They're not going to drive around that building. They're not going to go up through that little narrow area there by the drive-up. They're going to cut straight between Whitey's and myself, inhibiting my and perhaps putting in danger my clients and patients. I think the last thing is that Mr. Winland made a pretty good point the last time we were here that neighbors working with developers and construction people, things usually turn out pretty well. I talked to John Thunberg today. Nobody has contacted him about this. Nobody has contacted me from the city, from the developer, from the construction. I have had zero input in this development, and I am beginning to wonder why. I do not understand our city planners that wouldn't call me and say, hey, what do you think? Can we do something to make this better? I believe the reason for that is it's hard to look at that building and say it makes sense on any level, because obviously from my standpoint, it does not. But I'm embarrassed for the city, I'm embarrassed for the developer, I'm embarrassed for the construction company that would not be a neighbor that say, hey, by the way, we're sticking this in your backyard with limited parking and with a traffic flow that makes no sense to me. You're the experts. I stayed at Holiday Inn Express last night, but I do not know anything about traffic flow, but that doesn't make sense in that southwest corner, let alone coming in off of Middle Road. Doesn't address the issues, only makes my parking or my driving and parking issues much worse than they were before. So I apologize for being a little loud, but I'm sorry. You had really good questions the last time. This really hasn't improved anything. I think the building moves 6 feet farther away. There's an incredible amount of development that could happen around Bettendorf and perhaps someplace there, but to stick that building in front of another building, which I'm still not sure about the parking. There is the possibility, despite what Mr. Connors says, that Colo Hub may go someplace else. They do have two businesses. They have a fiber optic business as well, where they're storing their equipment out on that parking lot. But they could go away. I believe that's potentially possible. So I would like you to rethink some of the issues you had the last time, and particularly think about the lack of input that Whitey's and myself have had in trying to accommodate any type of development there. So, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Mark, can you give us some feedback on a few of the points that Scott made?
Absolutely. So, appreciate that input. I guess right off the bat, I would say that the developer did reach out to each of the property owners, sent certified letters with my contact information to answer any questions that they might have. Arby's reached out to me, Kevin Ramirez, who's the operating manager there, and said he was thrilled about the project because it'll increase traffic and bring more customers to him. So people had the opportunity, they had the contact information, and they had a site plan, I know that with the city, being sent out the site plan as well. So I'm sorry that the Sandemans didn't take that opportunity to discuss it. As far as the parking, this corner, this square, has cross parking easements. It has since 1998. It operated as a grocery store. It was a 30,000 square foot grocery store that had a significant number of customers coming to it on a daily basis, and the configuration of buildings worked just fine. The in and out of egress worked fine then. So I'm sorry that we're taking away a portion of that parking lot, but our parking ratios are still 6.83 per thousand for stalls. So by code and by what the city has laid out for us, the developer, to meet, those requirements have been met. The building did move to the east. It moved to the east, so now that there is 47 feet on the west property, there's 45 feet on the east property. It can't go any farther to the east, otherwise we would investigate that, but as Mr. Beck pointed out, the sewer easement restricts it being able to go any farther to the east. So that was another point. The Colo Hub parking ratios for that business and for that development, again, it goes back to the fact that this entire development, when it was in Eagles, had a cross parking easement. Any business that moves in there, however many years in the future, has the ability, because it's a recorded document, to be able to park in this lot. There's more than enough parking for them to park in the back of the building, plus there is approximately 60 feet in front of the Colo Hub, which can be angled parking and road parking there. They have additional parking along Devil's Glen. So what we tried to do is take the input from the previous meeting and make the plan better. I feel that we did make the plan better by increasing circulation around the building on both the east side and the west side, so people will not, or will reduce the number of times they cut through Glen Road's vet clinic. But it's been improved to every point that we've been asked to do by the city staff. So,
Mark, can you address the one question I heard and didn't hear you address, was the location of the fence?
Sure. So along the west property line there, and again, it's hard to zoom in, but the fence will go as close to the property line as possible, as to which will be the property of the developer here. If they've been using it for how many years, that portion of green space, what I understood from the previous meeting was that they had safety concerns. They did not want people parking on their property to be able to use the retail building in off hours. So we'll do that by placing the fence so that people are not going to be cutting through, and it'll be on as close to the property line as code allows.
There's a berm there. They can't cut through anyway.
Well, the point that was made in the previous meeting was that people would cut through, and this is the solution that the developer came up with. So if they aren't going to cut through, I guess I'm unsure why that point was brought up in the previous meeting.
No, the cut through is north of that fence, Mark.
The fence is going to go as far as that there is green space. If they're going to walk approximately 80 feet to the north in order to walk another 70 feet past, they might as well use the parking that's available to them in the 6.83 parking stalls per 1,000 square feet.
And that fence will be on the subject property, on the vet clinic.
That is correct.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Jen Belby here, representing the developer. You know, we appreciate the concerns that the surrounding businesses have, and we did our best to address those. I would just like the council or the committee to consider the fact that this is a commercially zoned piece of property in a prime location in the city of Bettendorf that's currently been vacant for about 14 years for the most part, a parking lot. And, you know, we're just trying to bring back sales dollars to the city and jobs back in there, in that location, so that it's not a vacant parking lot of concrete. We think it'll benefit everybody around there. It's very synergistic with the other side of the street and the retail that's over there. Like I said, we've taken concerns in. We've made changes. We are following all codes. We're not asking for any variances. It's just really bringing back a development to this area that we think is a benefit to the city.
Okay, thank you. Sure.
This is a parking lot in a grocery store. There's development land all over Bettendorf that is grassy land that can be developed. Right now, as I told you before, property, when it enters off of Middle Road, comes right through here and goes here or goes to Whitey's. Nothing is changed with this development. All they did was move it a little bit over here, and they have not spoken to us since the last meeting with any proposed changes. Another thing that you should know is that when school starts at Pleasant Valley, all of the kids that come at 8 in the morning, they don't want to wait for the stoplight here, so they cut through here and go to Pleasant Valley High School because it's easier. Same thing on the way back at 3 o'clock. They don't want to go to the intersection and turn left. So they come through here and cut through our parking lot. They are still proposing the entrance off of Devil's Glen Road behind the building. So basically what they're saying is you can come through behind the building and then go through the drive-through. Or what, you can go like this and try to do a hairpin turn. This is already an existing berm on our property that's grassy. This is how Whitey's property ends, right here. They have drive-up people that come on our property to park. There is just no way with this amount of parking that people are not going to use Whitey's and our spots for restaurants after hours. There's just no way. And they're not, when they come in here, they already know this route. They're going to go like this and park. They're not going to go all the way around here and park, or go here and make a left-hand turn that's a 90-degree angle. There's just no way. There's other development land. And why are we letting development occur in a parking lot that's associated with a grocery store that could be something in the future? What if Colo Health leaves, if they're bought out, if they fail, whatever the issue is? We're having development in their property, so that building is basically worthless. All you're doing is devaluing our property, and what they won't do is pay for frontage, but they want the benefits of frontage. By Fairway, which is right down the street, a block and a half, there's plenty of open land. There's a vet clinic for sale up the street, a block and a half. But we're developing this. This looks like Home Depot to me. We have 25 spots here. How many do they have? Not enough. And whether your code permits 6 per 1,000 or whatever for the uses they're establishing, that's just not reality. They need more parking. They're going to have restaurants. There's 7 tenants in here. And where are they going to go? Just 2 weeks ago, Wallace's had their fall festival, and there was not enough parking at Wallace's, so they parked here and at White's all day long. And that's completely on the other side of the development. People are just going to park where it's convenient, and all this does is devalue our property. And putting a fence here does nothing. We already have a curb cut here. It doesn't matter. It's whether there's a cut through. If there's a way to cut this access off so nobody cuts through our property, that's different. But when they come in here, I don't care what the signage looks like, they're going like this. They're not going to do a hairpin turn like this. And who enters a structure behind a development? It just doesn't make sense. And it's wrong for Bettendorf.
Are there existing cross easements, ingress and egress, across the west side of the veterinary clinic today?
There is an easement that extends on the west side of the vet clinic and across the front of the Whitey's property.
So that's existing?
That exists. That's correct.
And it's not going anywhere. It's been recorded. It runs with the land. It will always be there.
But it's not used. So just so you know, it looks like that makes sense, but the way the entrance to the property is right here. It's right here. So nobody comes in and makes a left turn to go here. They make the turn and they go up.
They took away our entrance when Eagles was built. That's why it's a mess right now.
It used to be that the entrance to this property into Whitey's was right here, and there was a frontage road. And the frontage road, you could either go straight and go to our property, or you took a left and went to Eagles, and this was all farmland. And then when Eagles was developed, they wanted an entrance, obviously, to their property off of Devil's Glen Road, which made sense, but they cut off this whole, so this is a recorded easement that basically is undeveloped, not used piece of land. Our property is all perfectly paved, striped, and as you can see, here's the entrance. There's nobody that's going to come in and do this, and go all the way around here to get in here. It's just not going to happen. And you can sign it and record it however you want, but this is the use of the property, and I would suggest that you talk to people that have been out to the property and looked around, and you'll see how the property is actually used. I realize how this looks, but between the high school kids cutting through, Wallace's parking on our parking lot, whenever it's convenient, and this development, and if you think people are not going to walk right here and park, because there's no parking, there's not enough parking here. There's 7 tenants and 2 restaurants. I mean, Whitey's already told us that they're having a problem at 53rd Street with parking in that little strip mall because there's not enough parking. So, that's it.
Can the traffic study be done, or is that something that the city can do, or has it been done?
Mr. Chairman, the entrances are designed to handle the traffic. The traffic study was done back when the grocery store was built many, many years ago.
With a much higher volume of
That's
use.
Correct. So there is no traffic study that we can apply to somebody inside of a private property area.
Can somebody still explain to me how they get out of the drive up on the west side against the 2 lanes of traffic coming in and the 2 lanes next to it?
I'd be happy to. They'd come to a stop when they get their order, and then they would proceed to take a right-hand turn, 90-degree, out to Devil's Glen.
Similar to the way that Arby's works today.
They're turning in front of the traffic coming in from there, going up.
Yep, that's why, so they came to a stop. They proceeded with caution, and then they slowly accelerated to the Devil's Glen entrance, exit.
And that's occurring at the Arby's location. It's occurring when they exit the Whitey's drive-through as well. They still come across those same lanes of traffic, correct?
Correct. That's correct.
And Bill, or Greg, just for maybe getting between accuracy and precision here, but is the current recorded cross easement for traffic that's the properties are burdened by there, is that in the grassy area along, or is it where the existing pavement is? Do we know?
What do you mean in the
to the west?
This area?
Nope, to the west of the vet clinic. There's an existing recorded easement.
There's a recorded easement here.
So
in this area,
it's not
here.
Where the pavement is?
I'd have to look at what the scaling is. It's Castro's addition is what it is, but there's an easement through
it's
there.
It's an asphalt area.
It's an asphalt area.
Yes, it is.
So
it's a crumbling asphalt area that is practically right on.
But where I'm going with that is that if that's where the easement area exists by virtue of the documents, then the other area you have full control over as far as policing and controlling. They only have rights on the recorded easement area. I'm thinking you could block off the area that's not subject to the easement and make them drive on the easement. Would that be correct? Yeah. Well, I don't know how you would do it, but the rights only exist out by the road. Wouldn't they be able to close off that drive right there if it's not on the easement area?
They
shut it down at night?
They can't close off the drive. That's the access to the easement, and there is a platted ingress easement here on the existing plat. They could come out and put a barrier parallel with the south side of their building, and that would require their customers to drive around on that frontage road to park in their parking lot. Yeah.
And it's not, the development's not going to change the students driving through in the morning and the afternoon. That's going to happen whether it's there or not. But you, there are precise rights that you have and precise rights that you're subject to. And you have full right to exercise control over the area you have rights to exclusively. What you don't have rights to, I'm not being your lawyer here, but are the areas that are not your, where it's easement area, that's subject to the rights of all the others in the cross easement document. And if there's a practical way to work it out, that's fine, but
there's not, because we can't block this right here. This is an easement that Whitey's and we use. We can't block it.
Ma'am, could you not press against the screen there? You may scratch it.
So people coming into this property, first of all, whether this easement exists or not, it's not used. Whether it's recorded or not, nobody's going to use it, because it just isn't a road. This is the traffic flow, and this is open right here, and this is Whitey's drive up. And unless we could put a fence from here to here, somebody is always going to cut through here.
You can't. That right's been given away already.
What do you mean it's been?
You said there's a cross easement.
That's how people come off of Middle Road. That's rights.
Yeah, and so there's rights for them to do that.
Exactly.
So you can't close it off, but you have exclusive use
by making it a cut through to this development, because that's how it's going to be used. Because who enters a development from the back? You don't enter Hy-Vee grocery store from the back and loop around.
Let me try to explain this a different way. Just stay there, because you might want to help us. if I'm driving north on Devil's Glen Road and I turn right into this property,
yes,
and I want to turn left to take the shortcut, I have to go across property that you control. So what I'm hearing Roy say is, if you limit access to your property, not the easement, but to your property, what you own and what you control, I can't go across there. And I'm certainly not going to try to use that easement, because it's inaccessible and it's not easy to travel.
I'm not sure how we can limit it. This is the access to our property. So what could we possibly do to stop people from going through here?
Well,
because
part of the
remain open.
Part of the concerns that I heard you expressing was traffic before and after hours. So if you had a temporary barrier that you put up before and after hours that limits people's access to your property that you own and you maintain after hours of your business.
Okay, so let's say I was to put up a gate here.
No, I'm not talking about there. From what I'm
understanding, that's an easement area.
Right. So I'm only talking about the part to the south, which I heard you say was an area of critical concern.
Right.
So it's an area that you have control over.
But Whitey's, so people are not going to be able to get to Whitey's, basically. You're going to allow me to put a gate right here.
I'm not allowing you to put a gate.
Put up the aerial photograph, Greg.
I think what everybody's trying to tell you, ma'am, is the easement comes in like this. You have the ability to come in and put a barrier across there to push people over to that easement area.
Our clients? You're blocking out our clients?
No.
You can go around there and get into your parking. So if you're talking about, it seems a big problem is people just cutting straight through your parking lot. You have the ability to affect that.
But your property is subject to the other easement, so they have the right to come in the little drive and go around, I'll call it the western side of it, and traverse between you and Whitey's, from what I'm understanding. You have full control over your property. It may not be practical. That's another.
Make a complete left turn
Well,
to go right here.
But when you...
On us, on our property, because this is a problem the city created.
The pre-existing easement created that problem.
No, we didn't have any problem with the easement when the entrance was right here, because the entrance was right here, and people just came straight to our property, or they turned left on the road, which, as you can see, is no longer here, and went to White's.
And they'd be driving through there like a highway if that front access were still there. If you think you got a problem now with the way it comes in and they have to make the left turn and wrap around and that becomes a thoroughfare, a straight in would be even more direct for them.
Is that really what you want?
I'm seeing what I want.
Any Home Depot problems
in
our backyard when there's plenty of development land and you're penalizing us for being a good neighbor and having a nice property? They want frontage and they don't want to have to pay for it.
My only point is you have rights in your property. There's rights that are subject to the rights of others. There's property that has the rights of others. And to the extent you control your property, you are in control of it. And if your solution causes a problem with your customers, it's not a real solution then.
If it causes problems for our customers.
To come in and park because you put a barricade up. You can't have it both ways.
And you can talk about what easements look like and what people may or may not do, but it's like water running down a hill. It's going to run straight down. People are going to do what they're going to do.
They meet the parking requirements. We still haven't voted on it, but they've met the parking requirements. The traffic doesn't flow through your... It's more natural that they'll follow the flow, in my opinion, through the new configuration than with the old one where it was pushed all the way over, and it did force more people through. The building's existence or not changes nothing with regard to the morning traffic and the afternoon traffic. That seems to be the biggest issue. That building there or not doesn't change that one bit. Is there anyone else in the audience and any further comments with regard to this matter? Anyone in the commission?
I have a question, and I'm not sure if it's going to go anywhere or not, but from your picture you see there, Greg, there is a kind of a grassy median between the two properties that exist right now. No, go to the north side of the, or would it be the west, towards Whitey's. Right now we go to the other side of their property. There you can see just a little bit of a grassy median. You're way too far up. By the end of the fence, where the end of the fence is.
On the back of the Sandeman property?
Yes.
Okay.
Right there. All right. Is there anything to stop the Sandemans from putting a fence right at the top of where you stopped your mark, heading fairly straight towards Devil's Glen?
West.
It would be somewhat in the middle of their property. That's what I'm asking. Say that again?
We were under the impression that it'd be 10 feet from the property line. So, once again, there's a proposal for a fence south of there that we heard about tonight, which, again, I'm still not sure.
So, if we were to see where all our employees park mm-hmm. back here, so if we were to put a fence up 10 feet from the property line, we'd lose our parking.
No.
Right where you have your put your pin back up there, but don't touch the screen, please.
East to west. It goes east to west.
Go up a little higher with your pin.
North,
keep going.
North,
keep
north,
going.
North,
right.
North.
Keep a little bit more. Right. Not too far.
Down.
Just down a little bit. Right there. Now, if you kind of angle that towards the intersection a little bit, Devil's Glen, Middle Road intersection, angle your pin towards there. A fence right in there all the way out to the easement where you can't put a fence. Is there any reason why they can't do that? I understand there's an easement on their corner of their property, but this is in their property.
Okay, so this easement, whatever it extends, if we were to put a fence right here,
yes.
Then that makes our property looks like it's smaller than it is, for one, which basically just then gives Whitey's more room for their drive-through and for people to park on the other side of our fence.
I'm just trying to create a solution for even what you have now where the kids run through there. Just a suggestion, that's all.
Yeah, they don't run through here. They go this way.
Do you park there?
Well, if you put a fence there, they wouldn't be able to, is what my point is.
But this has to be open because this is the easement here.
That's my question.
That's why we can't have it both ways.
They can drive around it and still use the easement.
That's kind of my question. Is that an easement?
It's cross easements.
But they can still get there through the easement that goes around the front.
I would suggest if that's going to be discussed that the Sandemans talk to the Tunbergs and see if they can work out something between the two of them.
I would agree.
Yeah.
And I do have one more question. Who controls that easement in the front? Can that easement be vacated at this point? And who would start that
everybody
process?
Everybody that has the use of that easement, which would be the Sandemans and the Tunbergs, mm-hmm. would have to agree to have it go away.
Not sure if you were aware of that, but now you would know.
Yeah, the Tunbergs don't want it to go away. They want traffic coming from our place to theirs.
I'm specifically talking about
I understand that interferes with their drive up, however, as well. So, you know, we try to be good neighbors with the Whiteys. They wouldn't be happy with the fence right there. I understand what you're trying to do. So
is there two different easements here?
There's an access easement that comes in and runs around the rim of the property adjacent to Middle and Devil's Corner.
And that's the one, that's the only one I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the one that comes out of the Whiteys drive through. That's a separate easement, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so I'm only talking about the one that runs on the front of your property, not the one between the two.
So, okay. Scott, if that easement were vacated, mm-hmm. how would that benefit this situation?
Then they could run a fence all the way up to the grass, keeping the kids from driving straight through there in the morning, which is a problem you already have.
I'm just saying that when there's a development there, it's not just the kids that are going to be driving through there. It's going to be everybody that wants to do the development. What I'm trying to say by the way people come through that property is everybody knows that's a cute little tough route.
Just creating a potential solution, that's all, and asking the questions as to whether there could be.
Okay. Well, we're at a point where we have to have a decision. So do we have a motion from the commission? Any further, last call? Any comments from the audience? Nope. Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I see two issues here, two cases. So I will move for approval of the first case, the replat, case number 17-078, subject to recommendations from staff.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-078, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Oh, sorry.
All right.
Did you opposed?
I do.
Okay. All right. We have that, Lisa? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'll also move for approval of the site development plan, case 17-079, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-079, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
One opposed. Motion passes. Okay. Greg?
This next item, Mr. Chairman, is platting that's proposed. It's a replatting of two lots. It's proposed as a growthless addition. You have 17th here and you have Grant Street here. It's actually these two lots, Block 11, Lots 5 and 6 of Bettendorf Improvement Company, as shown on this sewer map. And they're proposing to take that and essentially subdivide it in that manner. This is the final plat, lots 1 and 2 of that addition. Building sits on this lot primarily, and on this lot you have parking for a business located here. This is the site, looking from Grant Street and 17th, looking back the building here for lot two, and then lot one, there's parking. Lot two, and then lot one there, and you can see the alley that goes behind the building. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, would recommend approval of the replat. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission this
I have a question. This, I know, I feel like I'm missing something here. So on this top picture that you're showing us, the two-story building is lot one, or maybe that's lot two. It's the new lot two. And the parking lot is the new lot one.
Correct.
But I also heard you say that the parking lot serves the business to the east, where the two, and we're not discussing that. So now that building doesn't have parking anymore?
Greg, can I comment on
this? Yeah.
This is part of an estate. We have two brothers that are involved with this. One brother is going to get the building. The other one's has a current auto repair shop. They're splitting up the property basically evenly between the two brothers. Any parking for lot two would be with the acquiescence of the owner of lot one, which is also a growthus, or leased or something like that. But this is basically to take care of an estate.
Okay, so the building with the two auto bays will be separate from the parking lot. Two different lots, two different plats, two different, well, one owner, but two lots.
Yeah, the auto shop is on the lot that the parking lot's on.
Okay.
So it's they're just dividing the property.
Okay. So that, okay. I get it now. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyone else on the commission?
Just to clarify, there's not a proposed change of use for the lots. Is that correct?
Not at this time. That could happen tomorrow, but at this time, no.
Greg, will you go back to your aerial view? Yeah. So the line that's on here doesn't include.
Okay, I was wrong. I apologize for that.
That's why I asked the question.
Yeah.
So now we're going to have three separate lots. One that we're not talking about tonight, which is the repair shop. Yeah. And then one for the parking lot and a third for the two-story building.
Yeah.
Okay. But your explanation helps me understand. Thank you.
Okay.
Janessa, you're okay with that?
Sure.
Yep. Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? Yes, sir.
Harlan Carley. I'm not sure I understand where the parking is going to be for that building. We have square dance hall on the top floor of that. Where are we going to park? We have a different owner from lot one and lot two. Is that correct? We would still have to have permission to use that parking lot.
And I believe the owner of lot one just told the person at the podium that nothing's going to change.
I think your permission's being granted.
On the record.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Keep on dancing. Okay. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? Back to the commission then.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of case 17-088, the replat as submitted.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-088, replat subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. 17-088 is approved. Okay, Greg?
Next case, Mr. Chairman, is again a case that was held over from last month. And essentially, you're looking at a convenience store proposed for this parcel area right here. You've got Devil's Glen Road right here, Middle Road here. This is, again, the view looking at the entryway coming in from Devil's Glen Road here. This is a view from within the development itself and showing Governor's, that locale right there, which will be gone at some point when the store is, of course, in place. And then this is the means of entry right here going into Middle Road, from Middle Road and to Middle Road from the location. This is the approximate area of this parcel right here that's involved. And we have a former plan that showed this drive-through and also a coffee shop on site. Plan's been changed and an additional area has been added to this locale. Where there's more parking that is coming into the area, should be coming in. Additional striping and widening, and then there will be also additional striping to designate the in and out points into the development. The drive-through has been eliminated. That is no longer in here. The additional opening is what I believe the commission was requesting last time, specifically for this area, and then also the traffic draw of the Starbucks that was proposed. The Starbucks is no longer on the site. And this is basically the demo plan right here, showing the Governor's would be removed. And these are the elevations again of the convenience store and then of the pumps right there. And the landscaping, we went through and ran the tree totals, and they do meet our requirements. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, would ask or recommend that the site plan be approved with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission, please.
Greg, could you just give me an idea what the elevation difference is between the back of the new building, the paving there, or the landscaping, and then the approach on the other side, the north side of that? I guess no, it wouldn't be. It'd be the west side of it.
Yeah.
Good question. Is there a retaining wall there? I guess that's the question. And how high that retaining wall is?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the engineer for the project. I don't know if they did put in a retaining wall.
Thank you.
We have a volunteer. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Casey Bonger, Director of Real Estate at Hy-Vee, 5820 West Town Parkway, West Des Moines, Iowa, 50266. On this updated plan, there is not a retaining wall at the back
of
the building.
And just from a comment standpoint, I think that's a huge improvement. In fact, Bill's not here at the moment, but I went shopping at Hy-Vee, which I do regularly, and looked over as I'm getting in my car, and there were like 12 cars backed up waiting to get out that middle road. I sent it to Bill, and I said, here, this is why we need that turning lane. I think a guy named Larry brought it up in the last meeting, and I think it's a great idea, and it's going to dramatically improve the flow over there. So thanks for working on that. Huge improvement.
And I will echo, you use that exit, I use the one on the middle road, and I see the same problem there, and so the same compliments for listening and improving. I think it will make a difference in the safety of the entrance and exits at both locations.
All the flow, you bet. Yep. Anyone else with the commission with regard to this, Sari? Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to thank you again for looking at this again tonight, and your points last meeting were very good, and you know, I do think this will help the flow and reduce the stacking at both of those access yep. points.
Great when things come together like that. Appreciate it. Thanks, Casey. All right. Yeah, engineer.
Steve Kaufman, 2131 Wendy Court in Bettendorf. We are the property owners here, and we've been working with Hy-Vee for the past 30 years on this. And I know some of our tenants spoke at last meeting, and one of their concerns was kind of that back wall. And Hy-Vee has added windows along the back to kind of fill in the backside there. So they took that recommendation as well. But hopefully with the two entrances, it'll help, you know, not only the traffic flow from customers at Hy-Vee, but the rest of the development as well. So.
Yep, great. Appreciate that. All right. Back to the commission then.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 17077, subject to the staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17077, Middle Road Site Development Plan, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 17077 is approved. Okay, Greg?
Mr. Chairman, we are looking at the area for the Betplex right here in the aerial. There's a lot four of the Betplex first edition that's approximately right here. That's under discussion for a site plan. And this is the intersection here, lot four is right here pretty much. This is looking north of lot four right here where our current entry is to the construction site for the Betplex, and right down here is lot four is viewed from Middle Road. This is lot four on the plat that was approved by the City Council and recommended for approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Essentially, we're looking at the southeastmost corner lot in that subdivision. Three buildings are proposed for this site development plan. This area will come later and will probably appear, as a plan for us in the future, but we're interested right now in this section right here, this eastern half. And essentially, you would have retail, you have a drive-through area here, and then one here on the site, and also a drive-through right there. To be retail as well as restaurants. This is the landscape plan. We did run the totals and they did meet the landscaping. They also created a bermed area as well in here and are working with the city to make sure that that area for landscaping on the edge here is coordinated because of what we might do in the future for construction along Middle Road. This is an example of the representation of what the buildings would look like. Staff in reviewing this project would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission, please.
Greg, on attachment D, there's a notation about an underground water quality structure.
I believe that was supposed to have been included about in this area. At least that's what we, I believe, had discussed earlier, that would be included. And in that, essentially what that is an area to help purify the runoff as it leaves, and then it would exit and go into the detention basin. I believe it might be lot two is the detention basin area. But that was something that we had discussed. I didn't see it, I think, when we reviewed this. But again, it was supposed to have been mentioned and placed here, I believe, is the last discussion we had with the engineers.
Well, it looks to me like maybe it got, I don't know, either the structure's still there for it, or it's been moved a little bit to the south. I just wasn't clear on how that was fitting into this plan. So is this a requirement?
It's something that under our water quality standards that we have now for runoff, I believe that Mr. Fries can elaborate more on that.
Yeah, I don't see it on the plan either. There is a water quality requirement that they will have to meet, and that is subject to the engineering staff's review. We will take a look at that as soon as we receive that from them. There's no question that they'll have the area to be able to do that and incorporate that into the plan. It was shown on the last site plan. I think it was down near the southeast corner of near Middle and Forest Grove. Where do you see that though?
It's a narrow to nowhere.
So there is a note on here that Bill's showing me. If you look where it says Betplex Drive, they've got landscaping, water quality, structure there. So there's something being installed there to meet that requirement. It's probably one of the underground structures that kind of does purify, I guess, as Greg had stated. So it looks like that has been incorporated on here. That's good.
All right, if you're happy, then we're happy.
Yeah, we'll be fine on that.
All right, thank you.
No problem.
Greg,
go ahead.
I only see one entrance or exit from what is currently presented. I do on the landscape. I see there's another entrance and exit, but until whatever is coming along. Are we comfortable with just one entrance and exit?
I would defer that question, or not defer it, but refer it to Mr. Fries.
Which one are you talking about, Scott?
Currently, there's only, looks like to the north on the Betplex Drive.
Correct.
There's an exit. With the rest of the development to the west not being completed, there will be no other exit or entrance. Are we comfortable with?
I would think we would want to limit that and keep it away from the intersection, especially considering, you know, the proposed improvements at some point in the future at Forest Grove and Middle there.
I'm going to agree with you that we need that second exit should be on Betplex also. But right now, we're only seeing one exit. And if the rest of this to the west is not developed, are we comfortable with this development only having one exit out on the Betplex?
Fire Marshal has a comment on that.
Yes.
Okay.
For one building, we would be okay with that.
For one of the three buildings?
For the one we're discussing.
Well, there's three buildings.
There's three buildings
this.
There. And maybe the developer can tell us, maybe there's another property coming next month and this will not matter.
I don't know our schedule exactly and how it'll bear out. I mean, what our plan is by the time this gets approved by a council, if it gets approved by a council, we would start construction, build through the winter, and we'd be looking at opening sometime in June or July. I expect, and Bill and staff have seen the plans for the west half of this. I would expect we'll have another building to the west side of this, and we'll have a second connection, but we just don't have that figured out yet, so we brought what we know, and this would be the ingress egress for now, assuming this was built. So it's a work in process. We're going to work on this through the winter, open in June or July, and by that time we'd be able to have a second ingress egress. So if you wanted to make that a requirement, I'm comfortable we'll have enough to be able to do that.
Short term, I think, would you be willing to put just a gravel access off the west part of that parking lot to Betplex Drive?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that could provide a second access short term.
So where the blue one's shown right now, to the west end of the west building, we would have another one anyway for, again, the west half. So we could do that at a minimum, or we're talking to somebody right now about the west and south piece. We may go across the frontage of the parallel Forest Grove as well. But again, if that's a requirement, we're okay with that.
Thank you.
Kevin, while you're there, a couple, and Greg, on this site plan, it looks like there's vehicles. Are there drive-throughs set up for each of these buildings? I'm seeing all the little blocks of, I think, are cars.
Yes.
Okay. So, and then some of the buildings, like the lower left building, is that set up for, and maybe the one above it, drive-through on both sides of the building?
Mm-hmm. Potentially. We have specific tenants for the two that are shown. We don't have specific tenants for the rest. And again, we would have to work that circulation out with the development to the west.
And then right there, between those two buildings, I'm trying to read that print. It's really a little tenant service drive. Okay. That's a tenant. So that would not be part of the thoroughfare, if you will, for the circulation.
So what we're doing is we're going to have a common area. Obviously, you've seen the Betplex. There's going to be a lot of people there, particularly on weekends, and they're going to stay in the area, is our hope. So we're overparked, for one, as you can see. And then we had an odd dimension for the north to south dimension of the development anyway. So we pulled the buildings further apart and made a common area in the back of them. So that service drive would close off at 11 a.m. All the tenants will be subscribing and being holding themselves to deliveries before 11 a.m. And so that they can all use that as outdoor dining and seating area for their lunch crowd and after. And then on weekends, it would be a common area to be able to have a bigger gathering area for people to congregate.
Okay, and that's what we're seeing.
And that's what right some of the photos okay. that are inset there depict as well. So it's sort of just a gathering space type amenity in the midst of all the retail restaurant buildings. I guess I kind of compare it to the downtown plan, the promenade. It's kind of like that.
Okay.
So the buildings, and we furnished elevations of all four sides. I didn't see that slide tonight, but the buildings will actually have storefront, not a lot, but they'll have a storefront, a door, and a side light window to that back. So, for instance, if you came in the south building, the front door, which would be facing Forest Grove, you'd be able to look through the store and see out to that back common area, get your food, walk out there.
Well, I've got you there. One other question. There's a pretty aggressive ditch, if you will, between the middle road and the west, to the west of middle road, between there and the development. Is that just going to be sloped?
No, actually, we've talked with staff. We're going to run, there's a culvert that comes underneath middle. I don't know exactly where it's at. Brian might, but of a fair size. It's a 30-inch culvert. We're going to connect a line and run that to the north. And drain the water away. And in doing that, we're going to fill in that. With the city, however we work that out. But that'll be more leveled out in there.
That's great. Good.
And cleaned up. Good. Easier to maintain.
Yep. Great idea. Okay. Anyone in the audience with regard to this?
Nope. Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yep. Yeah.
For clarification, there's a comment on the staff report about the size of water main to the buildings, and the fire code and sprinkler code is basically what drives the size of water main that's required. Generally within a site we see 8-inch main supplying hydrants depending on the size of the site, and for the buildings in particular, the size of water main is based on the fire flow requirements of the fire suppression system. Which in most cases, unless you have a very large building, would not require 8-inch main. So that requirement for 8-inch main to the buildings should not be there. It's based on the size of the building and construction type of the building and the sprinkler design.
So should we be noting as part of the consideration that it would not be required to be an 8-inch?
Right. The 8-inch would be way too big for most of these buildings.
It's a big flow, yeah. Thank you, Steve. Yes, sir.
Yes, Jim Jackson, a resident in Beaver Crossing. And my main concern is that my fellow neighbors are not aware of this because the mailing that we got says that this is in the northeast corner of the intersection of Middle Road and Forest Grove. This looks to me like it's northwest. And another a comment was made that we're overparked. Is that just this area, or is that the whole development in the area? So does that mean that it may bleed on a busy weekend, may bleed into the residents of Beaver Crossing?
No, I mean we're providing more than is required.
Oh, okay. All right. That's the only concern I have, is that the mailing that I received says that this is developments happening in the northeast corner of that intersection. So there may be low turnout from my neighborhood based off that mailing.
Did we have a catch in that one then?
If that's what it says, I apologize for the error.
Previous ones have said that as well, so that's why it's my first time coming.
Okay, we'll check on that. Thank you. Appreciate your input. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this? Back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 17080, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17080, subject to staff recommendations, as well as the additional notations by the fire chief about the size of the water main. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 17080 is approved. And I believe that brings us to our last one, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, this proposal is for a site plan along Middle Road for this parcel right here, which is multifamily. It's already been zoned R5. And this is the view from Coachman Road, looking at the parcel back down to the south along Middle Road. Easements have been placed in the development, the woodlands further to the west. This one up here is for storm sewer. This one down here is for sanitary, to make sure that those services are connected through to this locale, and that will give access to that, as opposed to having the easements, or I should say the utilities, come from the other side of Middle Road on the east. The developer originally started out with 89 units in this plan, and he has since winnowed it down to 69 units. He has increased the spacing to meet our code between each of these, so that they do meet that 30-foot standard of separation given the building's height. And he's meeting all the setback requirements as well. He meets all the density requirements for floor area ratio. And essentially, he has taken this down to a level now where it does meet all of our requirements for these type structures. This is additional parking in here, along with the small park area, and more parking here. And that's what was added there before. Plex was the most recent removal that was taken out. These are the elevations to give you an idea of what the structures will look like. And the landscape requirements are listed here. We did not receive the landscape plan in time to include it in the packet, so the landscape tree factors are listed on the site plan, indicating what they will have to provide. Staff in reviewing this proposal would recommend approval. With the conditions listed in the report, I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission. Thanks, Greg.
I have a couple. Parking. Will there be parking on the street within this area? Or is the only parking available in the driveways and then those very few extra spaces?
The parking provided, what they have to provide is they can provide in the driveway and as well with the double garage for each unit. And that's all they're required to provide.
Okay. And there won't be any parking on any of these streets, thoroughfares?
I don't know what, essentially what you're looking at are drive areas in a multifamily development.
Bill, you got a comment?
You've got a 24-foot wide drive and another 20-foot wide drive, so I would assume that there would not be people parking on the streets.
No parking on the streets, that'd be a good thing. Is that just the way that I had the same concern actually when I first reviewed this and I looked at the driveways, the way they line up across from each other, and frankly, I don't know where you would park if you're going to park in the street without blocking a driveway, especially with the narrowness of the street. So, yeah, okay, that was good.
Mm-hmm. And then the other question I had is about garbage collection. There's quite a few units, 69 units. I see places for dumpsters, but that doesn't appear adequate. What can you tell us about that, Greg?
Well, they've essentially, I mean, the area for refuse collection is on two different locales within this subdivision. I don't know, we don't have a requirement for the number of dumpster sites, but it looks like there might be actually like four dumpsters, but at two different locales that are shown on this plan. And we don't really have per se a dumpster requirement for the number of dumpsters per units. You don't just have to take a look at what something like Chateau Knoll or what might be presented at other developments, what they may have there.
Developers prepared to
Yeah, great.
Answer.
Appreciate that.
My name is Chris McNamara, represent the developer. A couple answers to your questions with regards to parking. Each unit has a two-car attached garage as well as space for two parking spaces in the driveway. We've done developments like this before, and we rarely see cars in the driveway because everybody parks in their garage. And so when visitors come over, generally they park in the individual unit's driveway. So we haven't seen any issues with overall parking. In other developments that we've done like this in Davenport, we haven't had extra parking like we've shown here. And so we won't see much use within those parking spaces that we provided. Most visitors are going to come park in the resident's driveway.
Chris, are you posted no parking then on the street area in there?
At our other developments, we have not, but we haven't seen a need to. Okay. Because the most convenient location for our residents, visitors to park would be the driveway and our previous developments like this. We have a development in Davenport across the street from North Park Mall that has 50 units, and we have one large dumpster there, and at this location we have space for essentially four times that for dumpster locations. So on the top right hand corner, the blue shaded area, we could essentially have two dumpsters in that space, and the top left hand corner in the blue shaded area, we could have two dumpsters there also. That would be essentially four times the size of what we have at a 50 unit property in Davenport that is, you know, with the same type of development, that we aren't seeing any issues with the size of dumpster and the usage currently.
Chris, so just for space and dimension perspective here, so somebody's going to, you know, they could have a 300 or 400 foot walk to the dumpster. Is that same distance in your Davenport development as well?
It is. Oftentimes we keep them in what would be the driveway access for an exit, and so people usually oftentimes people walk when it's nice outside, but we make it convenient for someone to potentially, you know, drive their car and have a quick spot to, you know, stop and hop out and throw things away. So we wanted to put the dumpsters in the back area to kind of shield it from what most people would see, as well as we have plantings around the dumpsters in the back. But that's the idea why we put it towards the back and not towards the front where Middle Road is.
And then while we're on that general topic, so that would also look like the place I'd dump my snow if I was plowing. Where does the snow go when you guys plow in a development like this?
Sure. We don't seem to have too many issues there. Between each of the buildings, there's 30 feet of space. So there's plenty of, if we have a large amount of snow, we do have those areas where we can place extra snow, but we haven't seemed to have had any issues in the past. We do snow removal ourselves. We own a Bobcat and a big tractor, so if there's a reason to scoop and move, we have that easy access to do it. But we also have plows that can push stuff into the right spot. With having driveways that we clear for our residents, having being able to plow that to a specific location, we have experience with and has been easy in the past.
Okay, so just in that, do you do the driveways as well as the streets then as part of this?
Yes, sir.
Great, okay. Any other questions from the commission? Anyone in the audience, further comments in this regard? Nobody out there?
I would say, sir, as far as the parking goes, it really doesn't seem adequate. If you're going to have a child's birthday party or a family get together, you're going to have more than two vehicles coming, and there's absolutely nowhere for them to go.
Well, I asked that same question thinking about that. And see where the little S is? That is some community parking right in the middle there. They've got 2, 4, 6, it looks like 12 spaces for
how many units?
For all those units.
Yeah, 69 units. There's 12
spaces. That's the only place.
And on the holidays, that's going to be adequate.
Well, and to bootstrap on that, Chief, if we had a bunch of people parking in the street on 24-foot, would you be able to get your fire truck around?
If they're on both sides, we wouldn't.
This is a pretty busy area of the road, middle as it is. And with that new stoplight just recently going in, up a ways, and I think that'd be a really dangerous place to have street parking. Especially directly with those other coachmen being right across from there, and like I said, the new streetlight just going in up the road a ways.
Bill, we're at code, right? You said with the, or Greg, with the, but that's counting the garage, inside the garage, and the driveway on the outside.
They only need two spaces per unit.
And we got with two in the garage and two in the
driveway. You got four.
What they need, plus the additional.
Currently, we have 288 parking spaces for 69 units.
Is this a pretty flat lot?
Yes.
Dead flat, yeah.
Are we comfortable with the north exit not lining up directly with Coachman?
Well, we had talked to the developer, and I hope he remembers this, that we wanted this to be one way in and one way out.
On the north side?
Yeah. So
yes.
We're not going to have both accesses being full access, which is going to help significantly. Our suggestion was you have the ingress on the north entrance, egress on the south.
Thank you.
Yeah, that helps.
Agree.
It's mm-hmm. a good idea. Yeah. Anyone else with regard to this matter, commission or audience?
We don't have the landscape plan. I heard you say, Greg, that you were satisfied with the tree count. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I mean, this is what they're going to have to provide.
Is there
in the back? Sorry, it says that 26 tree factors.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be 26 trees along the west border of the property.
They would have to have it at a certain caliper. They would plant them. And that's essentially a 2-inch, I believe, caliper, 6 inches removed from where the root structure begins. That's how you measure the caliper, mm-hmm. and that's what they'd have to provide for as a tree factor, deciduous overstory. Or else they could provide pines that would be double up on those and provide those.
I'm thinking of
a tree factor.
Single family eventually behind there.
There's also a berm, too, I believe, that is on the single-family property for the most part.
But you got three-story backed up to one- or two-story, so 26 trees. Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mike Shamsie with Landmark Engineering, and we did the landscape plan. Greg said 26 tree factors. When I did the landscape plan, I used that 20-foot required buffer all around the property, and I came up with 56 tree factors, and our plan actually includes 60. So we exceeded the ordinance based off of my calculations.
Thank you.
which I provided how I did the calculations on the landscape plan, and we did get that plan in late last Friday.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate the insight. Anyone else with regard to that matter?
Is that for the entire site, 60 trees?
That is the trees that are predominantly around the perimeter and spaced down the streets.
Because that's just about what Greg has. He's
the
got
tree, the tree factors as they used them, they used the wrong divisor. That's why it's different. It was supposed to have been 500, every 500 square feet for two of these areas. The one that's 700 square feet for every 700 square feet is this area. For these areas, which are buffer yards, every 500 square feet, not every 700 square feet as they had calculated.
Okay.
That's why it's different.
So what's your total tree factor requirement, Greg?
To be, I believe we're looking at 69 trees in this thing, almost the same, pretty much the same number as the other. Let's see, 47.
Okay.
22, yeah. 47.
I think 67.
67. That might be, let's
67
see.
67 if I told
67,
you 67,
okay, yeah, you're yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Last call. Commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we approve case 17-089, site development plan, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17089, subject to staff recommendations, as well as the clarification on the tree count. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes.
And I'll just give you a little bit of discussion and explain my vote. I think I agree. I think there's too many. It's just too dense. There's a questions about parking, questions about just space around the homes. I think it's just too dense. So that's my, I just don't particularly think it's a good use of that spot. So.
If I may, Mr. Chairman.
Yep.
We always base our recommendations on whether something meets the ordinance or not. And this does meet our ordinance.
I encounter that dilemma a lot of times. Yep. All right. But then I think, Bill, we're to you with commission update or city update.
Okay. Well, the first thing I'd like to do is commend Lisa on the set of minutes that she gave you. It was very concise, and believe me, she worked very hard on those. Looks like she's going to have another project coming up here for next month.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. So the city council, subsequent to your affirmative recommendation, passed the first reading of the 3610 Tanglewood Road land use and rezoning. The city council did pass the final plat and the site plan for the Interstate 74 Technology 6th edition and for the site plan for lot 4. They did pass the site development plan for 3665 Devil's Glen Road, submitted by Kevin Kellner. And subsequent to your negative recommendation for Atomic Coffee, the City Council did pass that. They did, developer did come in and modify the site plan a bit, added two more stacking spaces. And staff did have a positive recommendation for that. Again, staff's sole responsibility is to look at how these projects relate to our ordinances. And if they meet all the requirements of our ordinances, we're going to recommend approval. And it's no disrespect to this wonderful commission at all. So I don't want you to take it that way. The intangibles, that's what the Planning and Zoning Commission and the City Council look at. But we try very hard not to let anecdotal information or any other factors enter in. Our job is to see how these projects align with our ordinances.
And we appreciate you doing that, Bill. And I think from our standpoint, at least I'll speak for myself, I had issues with the traffic. I had a dilemma about the last guy in not being able to do it, and Jeff had made a great point about that, and it was probably 59, 49, 51 for me to go or not go, but I think the resulting traffic congestion around there was the tipper for me. But we followed the process. We went to the City Council with the subsequent right to override, and I think the system works, so, mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
That's all I have, Mr.
Yeah, I don't have any problems with that. I think that basically after that meeting, that was probably one of the one votes that I could have gone the other way with. So, yeah.
It's close.
I didn't have a problem with that.
If you look at the decisions you made at the last meeting, we have two projects that, in my opinion, based on your comments, came back, and they're much better projects that were approved tonight.
For sure.
I agree.
Yeah.
And we've seen that continue to work over and over. So keep on encouraging that. When people talk, we can make some progress.
I think so. It makes everybody's life easier when people come here with a consensus about how they're going to improve the plan and make it better. And
notwithstanding
better,
some
for everybody.
Particular feedback tonight, I think there was an improvement in that site plan over what we had before that made it approvable for me as well. So
there was, I think, a tremendous amount of work that went into moving that building and trying to listen to all the comments that we had in the last meeting. And to me, that's a good use for that space. It's just going to be, it's right now just an empty parking lot, and would be always an empty parking lot. So why not have that space developed and be used and have people back there rather than just empty space?
Agreed.
And if I'm a business owner in that neighborhood, then I've just increased my exposure mm-hmm. with more traffic.
I'm glad to see it being put to use, but at the same time, I still have a lot of concerns about the safety of the traffic flow, and that I feel like it's just so similar to the Home Depot issue. That's why I voted against it.
Yep. All right. So with that, we are adjourned.